Today's scripture is up there on the board for you. Kind of got a hodgepodge going there today. Again, good morning and welcome, especially to our people online. And you know, if you take a look on Facebook especially, we're getting quite a few views. So even though a person might not be here in physical attendance, a lot of people are joining us through Facebook, YouTube. So thank you, David, for setting that up. Nicole, everybody that takes a part in that. One way or another, we're reaching people. Title of today's message, How Far Are You Willing to Go? At a railroad station is a man whose job it is to sit and open and close a gate at certain times when he is signaled. Often there is someone who complains and criticizes him for shutting the gate when he did. When asked how he could work there with all the criticism directed at him, he answered, "You see that man up there? When he signals me to shut that gate, I shut it regardless of what other people say, because he is the only one I work for and the only one who gives me pay." The only one. So I ask you this morning, who are you working for? Who are you working for? Our first scripture comes from Isaiah 41:10. I'm going to bop to it just real quick, and then we'll come back to the main, so if you want to write more down. Isaiah 41:10, this is coming from the New King James Version. "Fear not, for I am with you. Be not dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. Yes, I will help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand." You ever think about our world today and what it has become? Now I'm talking about the good and the bad. Talking about the good and the bad this morning. More specific, do you ever stop and think about where we are and where we are heading as mankind, as a society, as individuals, as a church? As a family of God. Or better yet, how about this? You ever stop to ponder what God thinks about all this? How you and I live, how we associate slash dwell within society and in the world today. You think about that. What does God think about how we interact in the world? What does God think about Rockford Church and its leadership, its pastor, its members, its board, its council, all the committees, all the groups, which let us be spiritually correct this morning, his people and his church? For at the end of the day, that is what we are, true? We are his people, his church. Methodists and all that other stuff to me is way down here. Being a follower of Jesus Christ, that's up here, at least for me. What do you think God would say about you and I? What do you think God would say about you and I? Now, how many of us here at our place of employment, or if you remember, before you retired, you get called in every year or twice a year, you know, for your annual or biannual assessment on how good of an employee you are at where you work? Usually involves some kind of assessment on a scale, like meets, above, below, exceeds, and so on and so on. And at the end of the assessment, there's usually a place there at the bottom where you can kind of write your feelings down, your supervisor can write their feelings down, you know, where you are doing really good, Jim Manbeck, and well, where Jim Manbeck needs to work a little harder on areas. And then you sign your name and you're done. Your supervisor can define where you excel and where maybe you don't do so well. Kind of like that guy that tells the guy to shut the gate. He's the one saying, defining how you perform. Fun times I remember back then at Nationwide and even Muskingum. Of course, sometimes for me in my position now, it seems like every Sunday can be an assessment on how well I did or am I doing. And that's okay, it keeps you on your toes. But again, what does God think about you? What does God think about me? How far are you and I willing to go for God to get a meets or above, or even an exceeds on our review for 2023 and as we go into 2024? How far are you willing to go to get an above? Because it seems like any more meets is what most corporations try to get you at. You meet, you're good. They don't want anybody going up any higher, because usually then you have to pay them more. But with God, I don't want to be at a meets. I can't speak for you, but I want to be above or exceeds. Now, am I there yet? No, but we're working on it. Now, while we're talking about it, let you and I step off a little bit or maybe get a little wound up and ask ourselves. Now, we've talked about what does God think about us? What does Satan think about us? What does the old devil himself think about you and I? Now that, you got to admit, is a little bit of different type of thinking. Why do we care what Satan thinks about us? Why do we care what Satan thinks about Brother Jim? Why do we care what Satan thinks about Roxford Church and its members? Are we a problem for him? A little bit of a nuisance at times, perhaps? Or are we a major pain in his backside? Now that's the one I'm rooting for. We are a major pain in his tail. Or are we right where he wants us? Lukewarm or on life support? If you go to Revelations 3:15-16, out of the English Standard Version, I know your works, you are neither cold nor hot. Would that you were either cold or hot. So because you are lukewarm and neither hot nor cold, I will spit you out of my mouth. Now hot water can cleanse and purify. Cold water can refresh and enliven. But lukewarm water carries no similar value, true? You think about that for a moment. What good is lukewarm water? What good is a lukewarm Christian? Can you and I agree this morning that lukewarm Christians and churches are the ones who are not willing to go all the way for God and his kingdom? And how the devil, he loves both, does he not? Do you think he wants a fired up church? Do you think he wants fired up Christians? No. He wants them ones who are barely alive, going through the motions. John 10:10 out of the New King James Version. The thief does not come except to steal and to kill and to destroy. I have come that they may have life and that they may have it more abundantly. Now, I would like to think that we all here this morning, we're all adults. We all know right from wrong, true? Now, there is a big difference between what the world deems right and wrong versus what God proclaims what is right and wrong, true? Think about that. What the world says is okay versus what God says is okay. I'm going to say I think there's a little bit of a difference there. Now, Deuteronomy 31:6 out of the Living Bible, be strong, be courageous. Do not be afraid of them, for the Lord your God will be with you. He will neither fail nor forsake you. So this morning, to keep it simple, can we say God is a good guy with the white hat? Satan's the bad guy with the black hat. Remember back in the old westerns? You know, white and black kind of distinguished. Who were the good and bad guys? Good guys and bad guys. God's the good, Satan's the bad. But what is the battle? What are each of them after? Our souls. Our souls. God loves us and wants you and I to choose Him. Satan hates God, thus means he hates you and I. And he desires you and I for his own. Not because he loves us, not because he wants to help us. He just wants us because he doesn't want God to have us. Satan desires to keep you and I from God and being his children. Kind of a stick it to God kind of thing in worldly words. So why is it so hard for mankind to walk in the light and seek God and his ways versus the ways of the darkness and the ways of the world? Why is that, church? You would think it should be pretty simple, shouldn't it? If you break it down, you think about this, you have a God who loves you and this other creature, Satan, who hates you. Why wouldn't you want to go with the one who loves you? Simple, right? But yet here we are, we've complicated it since the garden. How far are you willing to go to make sure you belong to God and no one else? I'll stop and think about that for a minute this morning. What else dictates our life of the world? What has a mighty big say in our world that we live in? I'll let you think about that. It's sad how many times God has to share the platform with money, greed, pride, lust. We could go on and on. But think about how easy it is for Satan to weasel those things into our lives. If you go to 1 John 4:16-19, and this is out of the Living Bible. We know how much God loves us because we have felt his love and because we believe him when he tells us that he loves us dearly. Dearly. God is love, and anyone who lives in love is living with God. And God is living in him. And as we live with Christ, our love grows more perfect and complete. So we will not be ashamed and embarrassed at the day of judgment, but can face him with confidence and joy because he loves us and we love him too. We need have no fear of something who loves us perfectly. His perfect love for us eliminates all dread of what he might do to us. If we are afraid, it is for fear of what he might do to us and shows that we are not fully convinced that he really loves us. So you see, our love for him comes as a result of his loving us first. Now, I can stand here this morning and declare without a shadow of a doubt that I have felt God's love. I have felt God work in me, move through me, working in my life. And I have felt his love and him using his love to work in me so I can love others. Now, how many of us sometimes have a hard time loving others? Come on. Come on. Don't lie. Yeah. It's tough sometimes to love others, even to like other people. You know? I mean, I see Pastor Corey with that flowing hair of his. I don't really like him with that. Just kidding. I love Corey. But yeah, there's little things. We're humans. We pick, we see, you know. They just automatically, I don't like that person. We judge the book, you know, the cover, before we even read the book. But when God uses you, when God's love transforms you, that's an awesome experience, is it not? You want to talk about being part of the Yeah Baby Club, and I'm not talking about food this morning that you put in your mouth. No, no, no. I am talking about Jesus Christ and the bread of life, a feast of love, a feast of grace, and of mercy that it can only come from God. It can't come from Burger King, L. Sands, Roadhouse, nowhere. Not even grandma's cooking. It can only come from God. But yet why, my friends, why are there so many people walking this earth that are starving for life, starving for love? Perhaps someone here this morning is starving. Sitting here in our very pews or listening, they're starving because they have not got what Jesus offers. How many loved ones we call our own are starving, but yet are so filled with the world and what evil Satan produces that they're strutting around like a bunch of big old fat cows and steers? Think about it. They're bloated. Whew, they can't eat anything else. But they're feeding on junk. They're feeding on the wrong stuff. And the sad thing is, so many of these fools, and yes, I'm going to call them a fool because I used to be a fool. They're just waiting for the slaughter date, clueless about what is going to happen to them. Now, for anybody in farming, you know, you get a nice fat steer, what happens? Steve, where do they go? It ain't a good place. Hamburger, that's right. They're going to end up in your freezer. They have a date with the butcher. And how do you usually get them in the trailer? A little bit of feed. Or you load them up. It's true. How many people, though, we love and we care about are walking around strutting like a big old banty rooster saying, hey, look at me. But yet they're starving on the inside. Not a care in the world other than that green old grass on the other side of the fence. You know how irritating that is when I started messing around with cows to see a cow, his head pushed through, pushing out fence rails to get to this green grass when he's got all this other green grass around him. But for some reason, he wants that grass right on the other side of the fence. And be honest this morning. I was there once myself, and at times it's hard not to want to stick your head through the fence and get a little bite of that stuff on the other side. And what I mean by that is Satan can make many things appear tasteful and appealing. True? Even as Christians, are we not tempted? I am. So many little things. But I thank God that being aware through His Word, you're able to deal with that. That you don't take a bite. You say, I'm walking right on. I am leaving that junk behind me. For example, this morning, let's just use this for example. How many of us love the green stuff? And I'm not talking about that grass I was just talking about. Money. Money, 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 right? We all like it. It helps, don't it? It helps to have a little jingle in your pocket. And right now, money, that seems to have everybody's attention in our area, especially the whole gas and oil thing. Woo, money to be made. Money's coming. Union Township, right? This, that, royalties, Cadillacs are going to be rolling around. Never mind. I thought of Bob and Judy in the big old pink Cadillac there, so. But he's not here, so we're not even going to pick on him on that. But no, seriously, money. How much money am I going to get and what percentage of royalties? Now, I'm not saying money is wrong by any means, but boys and girls, we had best be watching out for our own actions, our own desires when it comes to money. True? Because you get a little money, a little pocket money, what happens? Remember back as a teenager? You get 10 bucks, what'd you want to do with that? Whew, that money was gone. Gone. Ecclesiastes 5, verse 10. Whoever loves money never has enough. Whoever loves wealth is never satisfied with their income. This too is meaningless. Now, money can be a stressful part of life. The anxiety of providing for your family by having enough money to pay the bills. True? I think we can all agree to that. Sometimes it gets a little sketchy, gets a little rough. How important is it, my friends, that you and I remember to first seek the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all will be added that is needed. Additionally, it is wise to not have a greedy obsession with money, putting a love of money before your love of God. Now in Hebrews 13:5, keep your lives free from the love of money and be content with what you have, because God has said, never will I leave you, never will I forsake you. Think about that. He's not going to leave us. Cash, how quickly does it leave us? For some of us, pretty quick. Now, if we'd flip the script here for a minute, from adults to children for a second, are we teaching that verse to our children? Are we? Am I teaching that to Ellie? Did I teach it to the older three? Am I going to teach that to Dawson? Are you and I allowing the world to show our children what money means and what money can do? Now, that's both good and bad. Or are we trying to teach, to show them how to be godly with our money? Now, that's a fair question this morning, isn't it? Just random, picked out the green stuff money. Are we teaching them what it means to be godly with our money? How far are you willing to go to make sure are your children know about God's word and what it means and how it is to be applied as well as obeyed in this life they live? Or does the internet and whatever social media they belong to, that is what they call teacher and master nowadays? Think about that. How involved are you in your children's lives, your grandchildren's lives? And I'll admit, it's tough. Everybody's got a phone. Everybody's watching. But is that becoming the master and the teacher in so many areas of our youth's lives? Well, if Taylor Swift or Caitlyn Jenner or P. Diddy or Will Smith, Pastor T.D. Jakes, and some of our prosperity pastors proclaim whatever they are proclaiming, then it must be the truth and nothing but the truth. Now, I tried to break that up. I don't really follow a whole lot of Hollywood and this and that and all the drama, so I tried to pick some of the more popular ones. But you think about it, how in-tuned our kids are to what even adults. Carrie had a magazine in the car yesterday, some rag mag, I don't know, like the Inquirer, something like that. And I'm like, who are these people? I know it's not hers, but I just seen it there. I was waiting at Rite Aid, and I thought, wow. But now, who are these people? I couldn't tell you 9 out of 10 of them, but I chuckled because, again, it's all about their fame, their fortune. Look at me, look at me. And I just found this out, those filters. People don't look that good. All these filters make you look good. Jeez, I could even look good if I found the right filter. Amen. Well played, Chris. Well played. I'll give her that one. That was good. Yeah, but again, it comes back to how we appear, you know? And is this what's teaching our children? And there's something to think about right there. If we go back to the beginning of the message and revisit about what does God think about you and I and our world and how, you know, the world we live in and how we got here, even what is coming from the pulpit this day and age, and even years ago. What does God think? What is coming from Brother Jim's heart and mouth, as well as the words and actions from the people of Roxford Church, especially when no one is around? What words came from the pulpit years ago? Was it effective? Was the past pastors effective in getting their word across? Or maybe did it fall on deaf ears? Remember that little conversation we had a couple weeks ago about how you have to prepare yourself to come to church? It's not my job or whoever's up here to get you ready to come to church. We're not coming to get you dressed. But again, how many messages did A.J. Johnson preach, you think? And how many do people actually listen to? Think about that. How many messages have come from this pulpit? Quite a few. Was it effective? In 1 Corinthians 16:13, keep your eyes open for spiritual danger. Stand true to the Lord. Act like men. Be strong. Let you and I think about that for a minute. You know, as they say, Rome was not built in a day, but it was built. Well, we can say the same with America. America did not get this way overnight. And what I'm referring to is the moral decay of our country, the sin of our country. Does the people of America, including the church, did we have? Have we failed to keep our eyes open for spiritual danger? Could it be that over time the church, as well as the people of the church, got maybe a little bit lazy, complacent in certain areas? And let us be honest, we're a blessed nation. We're a blessed people, true? I mean, come on, we are blessed. Perhaps our leaders, from our country to our churches, or maybe even ourselves as individuals and believers, perhaps we got the attitude that there was no reason to keep on going, pushing so hard, working so hard, praying so hard, witnessing so hard, reading our Bibles so hard. Maybe since it's so good, we don't have to work as hard. Could that have been our mentality? Now, we have it pretty darn good here in America. Did it turn into, I will hit it hard next week for God. I'll start on Monday, along with my diet. You know, they kind of go hand in hand. Hand in hand in a relationship. Well, I think we all know how diets go starting on Mondays. And saying that, and this is just my opinion, I think it's safe to say, in some cases, America got fat and we got lazy doing what God has called us to do. Not all people, but some. True? We turn churches more into a business. We turn churches more into a popularity place. We don't want to offend anybody. We don't want to hurt anybody's feelings. So now we have the godless of America kind of calling the shots in our country here and there in certain areas. I'm just saying it's like the squeaky wheel gets the oil, you know? From children activities to our families and even our government and churches, sin's always been there. This is nothing new, right? It's just now it seems some of these groups have become more vocal. They have the platform, social media. They have this, they have that. They can now voice their opinions even louder. How sinful choices affect and has affected our children, our families, and our future. Think about that. Sinful choices we have made. And what those little ones that just went upstairs, what are they going to encounter? What are they going to pay for because of our poor decisions? Now, second example for this morning as we bring this all to a head. Last Sunday, Christians across the world celebrated Resurrection Sunday, Easter Sunday. Observing the resurrection of Jesus Christ. We did it right here at Roxford Church, and it was a blessing, true? But yet here in America, on the calendar, March 31st, also shared the day, Transgender Day of Visibility. Just happened to fall on Easter Sunday. Now, before we go any further, this has nothing to do with politics. This abomination is due to evil and sin of man. I don't care about the politics side. It's the sin of man. And this has been going on for a while. Man accepting the sinful ways of the devil. Now, my question here this morning, you get past the outrage and the anger, how far are you and I willing to go to love the people of the transgender community? Whoa, big question there, Brother Jim. Didn't see that one coming. True? How far are you willing? How far am I willing to love that person? Get you thinking. Because I'm going to be honest. That's hard to love. Because I don't understand. I don't understand. How many today are listening in? And maybe this is a problem too. Have no clue what I'm talking about. Transgender Day of Visibility. Maybe that is some of the problem with the church and our members. We just keep our head in the sand and pretend that everything's hunky-dory. For example, the individuals of this trans community, the lost, the ones who are headed for hell, the ones who have no clue. You got ones that, you know, I believe they have no clue. They haven't really heard the gospel so much. Or the ones who proclaim it, their sinful lives with a pride to all the world. They're in every photo, you know, hammering away, promoting their agenda, this pride to the world. And at the end of the day, it really doesn't matter, does it? Because there is only one way for them when it comes to eternity, which leads straight to the gates of the hell. But unless they see and acknowledge their sins and ask Jesus Christ to step in, to forgive them, to ask for salvation, and to live a new life and transformation for Christ. Sound familiar? Guess what Jim Manbeck did? That same exact thing. I seen that I was sinful. I seen that I needed Christ. Isn't that the same for all of us? What do they say? Love the person, hate the sin? True? Again, in saying that, how many people who claim to be Christians are also on a one-way trip to hell? Because they never gave their lives completely to Jesus Christ. Why hell and not heaven? Because they failed to go all the way for God, not willing to go the distance. Oh, they could talk the talk and walk the walk on a Sunday morning or at a church event, and they were good at it as well. But at the end of the day, they could not bring themselves to admit that they were a sinner and needed Jesus Christ to be their Lord and Savior. Oh, they enjoy playing God more than living for God. Now, did you hear me? They enjoyed playing God more than living for God. And sometimes that's a struggle, is it not? How many of us here like to judge? Maybe we get a little judgmental at times. True? We form an opinion before we know the facts. Ooh, anybody ever here put their foot in her mouth? If I could raise my feet, I'd raise my feet too. We think we know it all. We assume. Playing God. Let me ask you this. What is the first and second greatest commandment? Matthew 22, 36 to 40 from the NIV. Teacher, which is the greatest commandment in the law? Jesus replied, love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. And the second is like it. Love your neighbor as yourself. All the law and prophets hang on these two commandments. love. Mighty big word at times, isn't it? Which can have, leave a huge impact in someone's life, both good or bad. You and I are fresh off Good Friday and Easter Sunday, which for me, that's the greatest love story ever told, can ever be told, as well as ever performed, the action of love. A story about the Son of God who went all the way for you and I, right there on that cross. He didn't hesitate, he didn't stop, he went all the way. How would God assess your performance as a believer and follower in Christ this day and age? Right now, how would God assess you? Second question, how would Satan assess you? How would Satan assess your performance as a believer? Are you a threat to Satan, or are you right where he wants you? Final question this morning, how far are you willing to go for your faith, for the mercy and grace given to you each and every day, for the love and sacrifice that was shown on that cross at Calvary? And only you can answer that question, my friend. I do not believe there is an ending place or a max here on earth in this life as far as how far we are able to go for God. But eternity, we're just getting started. And what a day of rejoicing that will be. And I can tell you this, you do not want to miss out on that. Amen.